You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Daily Nationalist. This is Matthew Raphael Johnson. Today's date is the 11th of June, very early, in the morning of the 11th of June. And it may not shock you to learn that I have to deal with the situation with Russia Strategic Aviation. And it doesn't shock you because this has been the latest propaganda ploy from especially the Wall Street Journal, to keep this war going as long as humanly possible. You know, I was watching a video shot from a Russian, I think it must have been a corporal or a sergeant. He had a GoPro on his helmet, clearing out a Ukrainian, I guess you could call it a stronghold. You know, the two guys, they captured two guys. They had no problem. They were outside the trench all the time. They weren't worried about any sniper fire or anything else. They were firing a lot, clearly not caring about ammunition. So, and the two guys they captured were at least in their 50s. One was shot at some point before he became a POW, and he bled to death in right there in the trench. And these guys are so poorly supplied. They look like they're going to paintball camp. They have bits and pieces of a uniform, always ill-fitting. They seem to be all low energy. No reinforcements arrived, nor were they expected. All it really was, this stronghold, was a dugout manned by two elderly guys, almost in civilian clothes. As it turns out now, the normal Russian squad or a platoon is taking an average of 50 to 70 POWs a week. Of course, you probably know that Ukraine isn't taking prisoners at all. They don't have that ability, and they haven't for some time. But it's clear from this and a few others that I've seen from Colonel Kassad's site, Russian language site, that this is a pattern. There's no obvious command structure. They're just random guys, self-commanded, either very old or extremely young. They surrender immediately. I mean, there could have been others in this video, for all I know. Now, mercenaries are not taken prisoner for very good reason. This is just a small glimpse into what's happening on the ground. Now, to distract attention from that, the Kiev government and more significantly the U.S. engaged in Operation Spiderweb June 1st, shortly thereafter, where drones snuck into the country, were put together, and were attacked Russian air bases. Propaganda and PR victories are the only thing that Kiev has anymore. Now, Drago Bosnich, again, has been a huge help to me, especially in the technical matters of this. See, I give credit where it's due, something that my imitators refuse to even consider. But it's not going to surprise you to learn. It faked or grossly exaggerated virtually everything it's done. And this is no exception. I remember when they used the footage from the 2014-2022 Donbass War as evidence for the destruction of Russian military convoys. They fake the downing of hypersonic missiles, even next-generation fighters, which never happened. But NATO is also in serious trouble. There's plenty of examples of this. Kiev has been faking and faking and faking, or at least grossly exaggerating the success of its sabotage attacks. Another one more recently, the mainstream propaganda machine says that at least one Iskander TEL, the teleporter, erector launcher, was hit, with another two damaged. Now, this is very recent. You know, Kiev's command staff says that these were destroyed as they were preparing to strike Kiev. Now, I watched the footage. It shows nothing remotely similar to what that Russian missile system looks like. There's a lot of problems with all, you know, if you go on Wikipedia for spiderweb, it has plenty of videos, and there's a lot of problems with these videos. Lots of other issues and inconsistencies. As far as the Iskander launchers were concerned, it was located less than 20 miles from the front. Kiev is about 200 miles from that. But the missile system's range is well over 350 miles. In fact, recent upgrades have brought it over to 700 miles. So Russia would never have its most important strike weapon so close to the front, where it could be attacked like that. The HIMARS has not worked out the way that they've wanted it to, the high-mobility artillery rocket system. And the Iskander has actually been the one destroying them. And they claim that the Russian system was destroyed by a HIMARS. I remember when Time magazine, and I think it was 2023, in their monumental ignorance, said that it's the HIMARS that's going to win the war for Ukraine. They're trying to smear the Iskander's reputation, but they also want to promote Lockheed Martin's propaganda about NATO source weaponry in general, and the HIMARS in particular. The American MLRS, their performance during the war has been dreadful. Russia is far superior to the U.S. in that regard. The tapes that they've released, both of the attack on the aircraft as well as the Iskander launcher, is very suspicious. For one thing, the explosion seems very small for ballistic missiles like the ATACMS. Shorter-range rockets that the HIMARS use are just not well suited to that. The Iskander is very hard to hit. They're very mobile. They're very difficult to pin down. And again, I mentioned the small explosion. Well, if it was preparing to strike Kiev, it would have had the 9M723 missile on it. It would have had 650 pounds each of a warhead, maybe 1,200 pounds of high explosive, meaning that the resulting explosion would have been far greater than what you saw in the video. That was just one aspect of the spider's web and those actions close to it. Russian strikes in retaliation, though, actually have done extraordinary damage. And we're seeing strikes by the very same Iskander systems that the Kiev forces allegedly destroyed in the past. Various blogs have posted footage of incoming missiles hitting targets in Kiev. The Patriot has also been a disaster for Kiev, too. They're desperately trying to intercept these hypersonic weapons, only to be obliterated just a few seconds later. But the footage is telling. It destroys, as Bosnitz says, it destroys two lives at once. First, the video is much clearer. It's intended to prove the destruction of the Iskander in the Bryansk Oblast, 200 miles from the northeast. The belief, second, that the Patriots could ever shoot it down is laughable. They can't shoot down a hypersonic missile. I don't think anyone believes that. So despite the propaganda, reality can't be moved or altered. There are no accidents anymore. Russian military hits targets with precision accuracy. As of right now, Zelensky is in a bunker. He may have left the country. I'm not certain because of the counterattack. So let me get to the airfields here. The images have been circulating online. I've seen both the video and the Russian and the Ukrainian imagery. I think it's funny, the Ukrainian imagery is all in English. showing the damaged, these are heavy bombers, long distance TU-95. And they claim that this Operation Spiderweb has been tremendously successful. You've heard the propaganda reports, the nonsense that they're promoting, that Russia's been wiped out, all this kind of thing. Some of the photos are forgeries. They're AI forgeries. Obviously so. Let me give you a few inconsistencies that I saw and errors that aren't very good. I mean, we used to talk about this with ISIS, you know. They're awful pictures. They were so badly done. There are a few ways you could tell an AI-generated image. It doesn't make sense if you really carefully look at it. Like with human beings, sometimes they have like six toes, or their hand is in a bizarrely mangled position. AI isn't perfect in that regard. Well, here, these alleged targets, these heavy bombers, they're showing an impossible number of wings and tail stabilizers. They haven't even cleaned up the original AI image. These stars are blurred or distorted, and they're not in their normal spot. They're usually in the middle of the wing on these pictures. They're not. They're usually at the end of the wing. The propeller blades, these are turboprop, both the transport and the bomber, or the transport, I should say. And somehow AI has trouble with propellers, rotating and repeating elements like that they seem to struggle with. They're positioned at very bizarre, illogical angles. And finally, the structures in the wings resembling the crash beams, or impact protection, they have incorrect shape. They're not what you would find on a TU-95 craft. It's typical AI error, which apparently weren't looked at very closely. They're low-quality fakes, and they're being used to not only boost morale among Ukrainians and their idiot sympathizers, but they're giving the impression of a successful operation against Russian Air Force targets. But this shoddy execution is a dead giveaway. Now, one of the worst in spreading propaganda is the Wall Street Journal. This is not a serious publication. What happens with propaganda lies and constructions and stories is that once it's accepted as true, they then build on that. They build on it. They start including it in theories about things that use these ridiculous and fraudulent claims. For example, the Wall Street Journal says that Vladimir Putin is now paranoia. He's going to start purging the domestic intelligence services. Now, they provide no evidence of this, but this is exactly what Zelensky has been doing in Ukraine. They even go so far as to say, long-range aviation strategic nuclear capability appears to have been severely degraded. And this is being put out for the public. The evidence is either forged or non-existent. Now, the satellite images that came out on June 3rd suggest that none of Kiev's claims are true. There's been a few American outlets that say, you know, Kiev has to calm down here. It wasn't as successful as they say. Operation Spiderweb affected a handful of bases. They only were successful at two, the Olenia and Belaya. It failed miserably at Ryazan, Ivanovo, Olenogorsk, Ukrainka, which is in the Far East, and any other place. It failed in Ryazan and Ivanovo. The initial claim from the press was that 40 of these very large, very expensive aircrafts were destroyed. The idiots at the War Zone channel, or whatever they are, they've been claiming this. Wikipedia now says that 10 were destroyed. But, again, the Americans, actually in Reuters was forced to run a story where it said, you know, the American Pentagon is now saying that this is much less successful than the Ukrainians are saying. Wikipedia even goes so far as to say that the Russian has admitted around 30% of its missile launch sites have been hit. But, of course, they have never admitted any such a thing. Kiev claims that. The images show one TU-95 and one AN-12 transport damaged at Alenia. Now, Russia produces about four TU-95s. I think there's 50 or 60 in service now. It's not much of an issue. It is a propaganda stunt, like everything is going on now. And your typical, usual suspects fall for it over and over again. The point, though, the moral issue, is that it's designed to keep the war going. So after this drone attack, Operation Spiderweb, the propaganda mainstream media machine launched a huge campaign. And they haven't done this in a while. They did it a little bit at Kursk, but they're kind of going back to what they were doing in 22. No one believes that Ukraine has any chance of holding on for much longer, let alone winning. The mass media was flooded with information on the brilliant Kiev regime operatives who humiliated Russia by supposedly destroying 34% of its strategic aviation, which is absolutely absurd. Considering the scale of the attack, as well as the 18 months spent planning it, these are very modest results. However, this has changed the nature of the war. Moscow's retribution occurred just days after a similar incident where the Iskander was used to obliterate a training site. The Iskander is shown to be the deadliest in its class. The commander of the ground forces in Ukraine, Mykhailo Lopati, resigned. He said he was unable to ensure the execution of his orders. He said, "I've decided to submit a report of my resignation from the post of commander of the ground forces. This is a conscious step dictated by my personal sense of responsibility for the tragedy, the 239th Training Center, as a result of which our soldiers died." Now, he is one of the more experienced high-ranking officers of the Kiev system. This is a huge setback. But he isn't resigning over the death of 12 men. They have thousands of casualties a week. But it suggests that what the Russians did is far greater than what's being reported. Operation Spiderweb. The claim was, of course, summarized here, Kiev carried out a series of drone attacks targeting Russian strategic air bases around the country, going after the TU-95 and TU-22 M3, the heavy strategic bombers. But what the media is saying, they're even calling it the new Pearl Harbor. The fact that this is being used over multiple news sources suggests that it's part of a script. The word unprecedented is being used over and over again. Now, the most recent images, satellite imagery at Belaya and elsewhere, it looks like three of the TU-95 and four of the TU-22s were badly damaged at the maximum. The rest largely escaped damage. The one in the Far East, the Ukrainka, failed because the transport vehicle caught fire en route. So while Ukrainian officials celebrated the operation as this huge achievement, its impact has been minimal. By the way, there was no casualties. No one was killed or injured on the ground. I say, the TU-95s, they have about 50 combat ready in service right now. They have a huge fleet of operational bombers. The loss of this handful is not going to alter the military balance. It's somewhat significant, but it's not going to alter. It's not really going to change anything. But this is beyond Kiev's capabilities. This came straight from the CIA. Now, it won't have much impact on the war itself, but this was planned and coordinated largely by the British, or that seems to be the going theory. The U.S. denied providing intelligence support for the operation, although it might just be a crazy coincidence that the timing coincides with increased NATO satellite surveillance of Russian military facilities. But I suppose it's the moron John Gambrell from AP, June 4th, saying that these satellite photos show Russian bombers Ukraine says it destroyed. Analyzed by the Associated Press, 7 destroyed bombers and a tarmac, just in the one in eastern Siberia. He doesn't say which one. Even Kiev admits that the Siberian attack was a failure. The southern Siberian base at Belaya doesn't show this at all, so lies are being used just to buttress even crazier claims. Using Siberia, there's more than one target there. You could get away with more. But that's not the most significant thing here. It's wildly exaggerated. No normal country, though, would do this at this stage in the war. It's over. The war's been over since April of 22. They're forced to hang on using mercenaries, intelligence, just sending anyone they possibly can. And of course, Russia's behavior is to avoid civilian casualties as well as avoiding their own, which means their motions, their movement forward is very slow. Their casualty rate right now is pretty much zero. But Russia's response was overwhelming in a way that they have never acted before. The star of the show was the Zhuron 2, designed in Iran, used in Russia, modified heavily by Russia. Its warhead is far larger than its small size would indicate. A couple years ago, it had been upgraded and hardened with tungsten. And it's getting, simply better. And they're very inexpensive. So you could use huge numbers of these. There's one that goes ahead, a scout, that conducts an electromagnetic spectrum survey. And that transmits back to what the best route would be for the follow-on munitions. Because they're so inexpensive, they're being produced in huge numbers. For the first time, Western Ukraine was targeted in the Russian response. The Ravine region. June 8th, Russia used its missiles to attack in Cherkasy, Zaporozhye, Dnieper, Kiev, and Kharkov regions. The warehouses of NATO equipment in Ravine and the airfields in Dubno were annihilated. That was a large logistics hub built during the Soviet era. That's where they're receiving military supplies from Europe. The VKS, or the Russian Aerospace Forces, that very same night carried out the largest missile and drone strike in the territory of Ukraine since the conflict began. The largest, because this is fairly new technology, the largest drone strike in the history of drones. X-101 cruise missiles were launched from the Tu-95 bombers, the ones that the Ukrainians said were destroyed. And of course, the ballistics and hypersonics were used. What was left of the Ukrainian Air Force was destroyed, especially its ill-fated F-16s that were destroyed on site. Now there's a few people on Colonel Kassad's site that are giving eyewitness accounts. There were long traffic jams trying to get out of the city. We're talking about Kiev and its surrounding areas, but also in the west, Lvov, etc. Western Ukraine isn't used to this. But where's the blame here? The blame is on the U.S. and Kiev. But there are videos of Ukraine police pulling out cars out of traffic and checking their smartphone for links to Russia. The raid on Ravine, or Rivne, I should say, is the most powerful in history. Initially, the Russians were attacking the occupied border areas around Novorossiya, but now that's expanding. The fires are still burning in Dubno and elsewhere. Facility in Chernobyl in the west has been totally obliterated. In Chernobyl, they destroyed a huge amount of equipment. The storm shadows, used a bunker buster that had 50 thick storm shadows, $2.5 million each, by the way. 53 ATACMS, each one about $1.5 million. 32 Patriot air defense missiles. I don't think they mean systems. There's not that many there. But they also destroyed several batteries. Each Patriot battery costs at least $1 billion. In that one strike in Chernobyl, they destroyed what was left of Ukraine supplies. In Lutsk, in northwest Ukraine, destroyed a warehouse where more Patriot air defense systems were stored, tens of millions each, within a very short supply. The Poles were starting to worry about this. The Polish bases going into Ukraine is where some of the supplies were coming from. Well, Poles are a combatant state. Russia would be right to target them, but they didn't. This was a massive retaliatory strike on Ukrainian targets. And it shows that the mentality, the Russian mentality, has changed. The means of destruction aren't localized like they were, which Russia tried to keep it localized. But now it's throughout the country. That should have been done a long time ago. But this is what happens when the war is being artificially maintained and they use tactics like this. Kiev is on fire, which does not make me happy whatsoever. I've seen the pictures, ruins of military installations, headquarters, locations of high-ranking Ukrainian and NATO military officials, airfields, training grounds, training camps are burning in 7 out of 10 metropolitan areas in the west, central and the west. 700 of the Geranium, I mentioned that's the nickname for them, drone, the Iskanders, the Kinzhals, they threw a huge amount, and their supply is limitless. They're these fire columns that are spreading. The SBU is trying to cordon off the capital in a panic. The general staff and the SBU are gone. Their buildings, Kiev and Odessa, are on fire. Russian government didn't want to do this. That was never. They would have done this from the first day. Now the GUR says that Russia has a new drone, VTU with AI elements. The device could autonomously recognize and select targets based on preloaded imagery of the area. 500 were produced in 23. Now there's about 5,000. And they have no defense against any of this. If you want to use the word unprecedented, it's the Russian retaliation. On the 9th, so just a couple of days before this is being recorded, 100 of the Geranium drones were used on Kiev alone. The headquarters, locations of high-ranking Ukrainian and NATO military officials, airfields, training, everything. Military factories, military industrial complex enterprises. Nothing remains. Everything is burning. That acrid smoke. Bodies of men in military uniforms are everywhere. From what I'm seeing on the web, it looks like the security services are cordoning off communications in a few districts in Kiev, the Shevchenkovsky in particular, suggesting that this was a huge success. So the Geranium drones came first, then the Iskanders in hypersonic speed finished it. Also the destruction of the Artyom military plant. There's a Russian language military site, the Chronicles of the Geranium, of course referring to the drones. There's a massive fire right now burning in the Kiev shipbuilding and ship repair plant. Another one in the railway junction, the area of the tracks. The railways have been completely annihilated. Another one near Kiev, Borspil. That's where its oil depots are burning. They have huge containers. And Iskander flew to Vyshgorod and Belaya Serfka, which were all near Kiev. A lot of repair stations have been completely annihilated. 7 of 10 Kiev districts are now on fire. This isn't something that the Russians ever wanted to do, but now they've done it. Now, a lot of my information here, I should mention, is coming from the Telegram channel of former Russian special forces connected to Wagner and Rotniks, as well as Colonel Kassad, who's published a huge number of pictures and first-hand accounts. And it's still going on. Warehouses, airfields, general staff offices. At least 5 Ukrainian fighters and several F-16s were destroyed right on the runway that first night. That's it. Nizhyn near Kiev, Chuguiv near Kharkov, that's in the east, of course, Shosta, which is in northeastern Ukraine, Izyum, Kharkov again. I had some Ukrainian manpower there. Have been targeted as well. The Kiev regime counted 500 UAVs plus missiles, 200-250 of the Geranium drones. Some of them are, and that's just the beginning. 700 total have hit the enemy, and this as of 24 hours ago. So they may have thought it was worthwhile to smuggle drone parts into Russia and assemble them in various places. Use unsuspecting truck drivers to put all this together and hiding them and then have them all be remotely activated near Russian air bases. They were using actually the quadcopters, like the Israelis are using the quadcopters too. They thought that may have been worthwhile, but it was just a PR stunt. But it also proves that the U.S. or the British, chances are it's the British, that did this. Ukraine doesn't have that capacity right now. The high technology and military satellite networks Ukraine does not have. At least it's NATO. You know, it all started when they attacked the Crimean Bridge, which of course is a civilian center. That's pure act of terrorism. The bridge has no military significance, at least indirectly. Drone control centers in Ukraine have been annihilated. The last few days, actually some of it was starting even before the sabotage attacks. I've seen from May 31st and June 1st, the Chuguv Air Base in Kharkov hit by the thermobaric weapons. That's a gas or liquid dispersing weapon placed on the 9M723 missile. Destroyed 6 drone launchers, 6 support vehicles, 30 kamikaze drones. The thermobaric relies on oxygen in the surrounding air. Sometimes it's called a aerosol weapon. Once the compound is dispersed into the air, like an aerosol, it's ignited. Then it relies on pressure. Sometimes it's called a vacuum bomb. The thermobaric is as devastating as anything else. It's certainly as devastating as a nuclear warhead, depending on the size of the mixture. And it causes a tremendous respiratory problems. The shockwave is extraordinary. So what they thought they did, what they thought was cute, which is really just a PR victory, has now led to all of Western Ukraine being set on fire. Anything, just what's happening in Kiev is more significant than what happened with the spiderweb operation. Who's being killed in huge numbers is a lot of NATO personnel. Now, they can't admit that they're there. Hence, they would be combatants, so they have to just swallow it. Many of these cities have not seen Russian missiles at all. Units of NATO advisors have been obliterated, training the Kiev regime in sabotage and terrorist attacks in near Crimea. Russian intelligence says that they were British, because they have been deeply involved in facilitating these activities against Russia. But this started on the 2nd or the 3rd, and it's I don't know of any other action, any other drone and missile attack that's larger than this one. They threw a huge amount at military targets in Western Ukraine. Nothing is left. Odessa is on fire. Communication systems are gone. The Supernovka in air base in Poltava was annihilated. Mirgorod, the undisclosed military infrastructure there, it's an air base in Mirgorod, is gone near Poltava. Now, of course, my question was, why haven't these been destroyed already? But that's the nature of the Russian government here. They wanted this to be localized. They wanted this just to be liberating for at least 4 regions of eastern Ukraine of Russian speakers and force Ukraine to out, you know, no NATO and to be politically neutral, like, you know, Austrian Finland used to be. That was it. But now, through these endless provocations, both terror attacks against civilians as well as this recent thing, Russia is showing exactly what it can do. The hypersonics with the thermobaric warheads, the vacuum bomb, the aerosol bomb, has been incredibly effective and extremely frightening. The New York Times finally admitted, though, in the midst of this, that the entire war was being directed by the U.S. military. Now, we all knew that anyway. But specifically, it was Brigadier General William Freeman. That name was known for a while. Chief of Staff of the Security Assistance Group in Ukraine. He actually was USAF, then went to Space Force. But that is the entire coordination center for American military assistance to Kiev. Now, if you look at his background, he's a bureaucrat. It's mostly, you know, British and American assignments. He commanded the air components, the special forces that managed operations from European command. And once he arrived, he's actually stationed in Germany now. The SAGU is in Germany. You had huge personnel purges in the general staff of the Ukrainian army. And that's where the Ukrainian unmanned systems forces were announced. He does personally bear a great responsibility for the slaughter of Ukrainians in this war, as well as this kind of retaliation. Space Force is important since this is where the satellite intelligence is coming from. Space, satellite, cyber defense, information operations, these have been key components. Space Force back in 2022 took over all satellite missions and operations. Under him is Colonel David Pheasant, Deputy Commander of the U.S. Space Forces in Europe and Africa. Space Delta 8, whatever that is, U.S. military satellite communications operator. There's a sailor with some combat experience. There's a Major Dunkel. I can't figure out what. There's a couple of Dunkels at the major level. There's a Mike. There's an Andrew. Neither one make a whole lot of sense. There must be another one, or it's an error. And then there's a translator. Now, it just so happens, June 2nd was the deadline for a huge debt payment due to hedge fund investors, you know, BlackRock, with not quite $1 billion, a tiny fraction of what they owe. Zelensky says, we're not going to pay. There's no restructuring, nothing like this. You know, Kiev has been receiving loans for this sort of thing for decades with full knowledge that they're never going to see this money ever again. Ukraine's been a third world economy since the middle 1990s. But my upcoming book, as I've mentioned before, on the Ukraine war is called Vorhi Splashini Krovu, or Debts Paid in Blood. That's how they're paying their debt back. Now, the One Beautiful Bill has a Ukrainian component. Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal flew to Kiev to celebrate the passage of that bill. $60 billion more is coming out of it. Blumenthal, by the way, when he was Attorney General, pretended to have been in Vietnam. He was not. He was forced to apologize to the VFW. But he has no problem sending more Ukrainian boys to their deaths. No one's going to read this thing. It's 1,100 pages. The bill is what causes the rift between Musk and Trump. Why he had anything to do with political life in the first place is, well, that's just postmodern sickness. He has zero knowledge of any of this stuff. No. I'm not entirely sure how politicians are going to Ukraine. In fact, I don't think they are. I think they're AI stage sets. American politicians would be legitimate targets under these conditions. They would never risk it. It's doubtful they were actually in Kiev. They certainly couldn't be again. There's something called the Logan Act, actually passed right after American independence, that forbids private citizens to negotiate on behalf, private treaties, on behalf of the U.S. government. These guys were talking about tariffs and the imposition of sanctions. They were doing this on their own. Logan Act prohibits unauthorized citizens from engaging in diplomatic relations with the foreign government, without the express permission of, in this case, the State Department. It criminalizes attempts by private citizens to negotiate disputes or influence foreign policy without the proper authorization. And they didn't receive it. They were going there as representatives of their state, but they didn't act that way. Meetings with government officials in that regard are prohibited if it leads to actual policy changes. They would have to be in a congressional delegation in order for that to happen. That's authorized by the State Department. There are no private treaties. But it's been very rare that anyone's ever been, I mean, it was enacted in 1799. Very few people have been prosecuted under that law. But this has to do with the $60 billion in funding and sanctions. They were advocating a 500% tariff in any country that buys Russian oil, which is most of the planet. Neither Graham or Blumenthal have submitted a statement of disbursements report, despite having been to Kiev 7 or 8 times, allegedly, for 2024 and 2025. They were traveling outside of federal authority with private money. They have no license to talk to anybody, any congressional business, any international television appearances, claiming to be representatives of the U.S. government. But, you know, the U.S. is a lawless state. We all know that because of the failures of the Pentagon's now their 7th audit has been a miserable failure. They used KPMG, I think is in Pittsburgh. 1,700 auditors failed to audit the Pentagon. Almost 2,000 men, they couldn't get to the bottom of Pentagon spending. One of the reasons that Trump had to increase defense spending is that 63% of the previous money under the so-called Biden administration, it disappeared, $3 trillion. This is part of the reason why the U.S. is so critically short of ammunition, and its Navy continues to shrink, despite having allegedly billions at its disposal. There are no records. They're not keeping any records. The fraud is everywhere. And they're refusing to hand over things, or they just don't have them. They don't have the records. As I've said before, the real Pentagon budget is far higher than $1 trillion. It doesn't deal with the social spending. It doesn't deal with a retirement fund, veterans affairs, international affairs, the security issues. Security spending is much higher than $1 trillion. That's like just like a base figure. In fact, $1 trillion only deals with on-budget weapons and deployment costs. Doesn't deal with payments to mercenaries, let alone the trillions in failed abandoned projects over the last 10 years, the REH attack helicopter, the polar orbiting satellite system, the Marines expeditionary fighting vehicle, the XM-2001 Crusader howitzer, the Zumwalt destroyer, and the littoral combat ship that I talked about on this show before. All of these disasters, all of them failed miserably. They cost billions of dollars each. And then you start adding interest on this debt. That means that the neocons cost the U.S. 70% of its discretionary spending. And yet Medicaid is seeing cuts in its budget. The things that are not on the books are precisely the work that went into Operation Spiderweb. This may have been a British operation. I have the feeling the British on the ground have all been killed. The U.S. is completely out of its main missile launchers, all out of ammunition. The destruction of the Patriot, both batteries and missiles, which are very expensive, and the retaliation are absolutely extraordinary. Procurement is irrational, and the Pentagon doesn't understand. They don't have the records. There is no immediate connection between the politicians, the Pentagon, and the industrial complex. They're critically short of ammunition. What happened a few days ago, this Operation Spiderweb, as we've heard 100 times before, just like Kursk, just like so many of these other things, they blow it completely out of proportion. They didn't destroy 30% or 40%, whatever they said initially, of Russian strategic aviation. They damaged a handful of large bombers. That's what it comes down to. And yet, what they earned in retaliation, that is significant. It doesn't give me pleasure to say that Kiev is on fire, Odessa is on fire, urban areas of Western Ukraine are gone. The huge numbers of drones and missiles and the hypersonics that have been sent to all of these areas. Ukraine could not recover here. There is no recovering. I don't care if it's $60 billion, $100 billion. And everyone on the ground in Ukraine is aware of this. And so corruption has been rife for a long time, but they're selling these weapons on the black market. But the worst part of it all is to invent this PR story about, you know, what, 40 heavy bombers being destroyed, or whatever they're saying, which isn't true. That's meant to create the desire to keep the war going, to have a victory that shows it's not over yet. So more of these old men could be sent to the front. Now school kids are being drafted and women are being drafted. This is even beyond the postmodern. This is a twisted situation. Any normal government would have surrendered within a couple of months, like Georgia did in 08. There isn't a family in Ukraine that hasn't lost at least one boy. And of course, it's all boys. There's nothing left. There's mercenaries. There's a lot of money from the West that they really can't afford. But these PR stunts, these tricks, it's designed to keep this slaughter going. The KIA from the Ukrainian side was 1 million. As of 4 or 5 months ago, it's got to be 1.2 by now. And I started off telling you about that film, the GoPro on the helmet, and what these guys looked like. They were the opposite of what you would think a soldier would look like. They weren't dressed properly. It was very sad. This entire thing is very sad. It should have been over a long time ago. But as I've said, the point isn't to win, it's to kill as many Russians as possible. And that's not my words. That's the words of Senator Lindsey Graham, who's an absolute piece of garbage, like so many of these other people who I've mentioned. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.